Good morning. It's good to be back with you after a couple of weeks. I want you to know that even when I'm not here, I miss you. Always look forward to getting back. Always look forward to praying for you and different things going on. Goodness, so just a couple of things I want to share this morning before I get into the message. One is, Richard, it's good to see you, buddy. But I got to tell you a story. Richard sent me a text, I'm pretty sure it was Richard, though, and as you hear what happened, you'll probably agree that Richard was the one that did it. had part in it. Richard sent me a text and he announced that the baby was here and they were so excited. He didn't tell me if it was a girl. He didn't tell me the name. Basically, he sent me this text and said, "Baby's here." And by the way, these are still on my phone, so I can prove this. And so I typed back to him and I said, "Oh, how exciting, that's wonderful." And so I said, "But is it a boy or a girl? And how big?" And so he sent me back another text and he said, "It's a girl, her name's Natalie." And he said, "And she weighs 23 pounds. I never got any clarification on that. But I understand that, you know, Richard is starting things out right. He really is, as a father and a new parent, because he also sent me a message and he said she's not allowed to date until she's 18. You know, but the thing is, I had to send him back and say, "No, that's not right, because I'm not allowing Dana to date till she's 30. So, what a joy. What a joy. It is exciting, and as the church is excited about this new child, and we're looking forward to being a part of the baby's life and their life. It's so hard sometimes to get into the message, and especially today. One of the things I look and listen and enjoy as I was watching the church, you folks are awesome. You're just one of the most wonderful group of people I can imagine. We have fun together. We laugh. We come together as brothers and sisters in Christ for a time of worship. And there's so much takes place. There's so much fellowship and love and friendliness that is here. Oh, we're kind of like a family. And sometimes we have bickering and battles, you know. But the love is what's here. And it's such a joy to feel that. And sometimes, because we're so relaxed with each other, we really can enjoy the presence of God as we come together to worship. Again, I'm just so glad you're here. What a great thing. It's taken several years. And what I want to do today, and we're talking about the piano, and it's an inanimate object. Okay, so first of all, I have to tell you, we cannot love this piano. Because it is impossible to love something that can't love you back. It's an inanimate object. 100 years from now, and I really like this piano, it probably won't be here. But what a great blessing it is today. And we give God the glory for that. And I guess that's my point today, is I want you to understand that it's about God. And it's about how kind God is and how loving God is. You know, we look around. It was just a few months ago, if you'll remember, we didn't know if we were going to be sitting in here. Because one night a couple of months ago, the fire department shows up and our church is on fire. But God is good. And he takes care of us and everything is provided. And he has provided, once again, such a beautiful, beautiful instrument to be a part of our worship. Today we're going to talk about one word. And it's one word that when I think about the church and coming together with the church and everything that happens here, it's so important. The word is this, is glory. Say glory with me. Glory. Yeah, and I love that word, and it's such a great word when it comes to talking about God and when it comes to being in His house. In Exodus 40, verse 34, it says, or 32, I'm sorry, then it says, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now begin to think about that. What does that mean? And what I'd like to do this morning is I want us to just look at for a little bit that word glory, what it means. Does the glory of the Lord fill the tabernacle here or fill the service? Our prayer is that it does. And really, glory is a part of our spiritual vocabulary. It's primarily used in hymns. To speak of glory or the glory of God and heaven, that's what we're talking about, and that's where God is. It's His habitation, and we sing glory to that. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And that word, that one word, denotes honor, radiance, pomp, power, splendor. I mean, how else can we describe God and His glory? Exaltation, mystery, worth, wealth, and dignity. All of this from one word. The Hebrew word that is used is kabod. And the Greek word that is used is doxa. And that little Greek word is the root word for something that some of you may not even have ever heard or know about, and some of you remember it all too well, called the doxology. You guys remember that? How many of you remember the doxology? Wow. And some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. The doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above you, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Remember that? Dan, put that up on the screen, would you? Now, we used to sing this. In the church I grew up in, we sang this every Sunday. It became so ritualistic, you could just repeat the words and have no meaning in your heart whatsoever. You just sang it because that was a part of the routine of the church. Well, we're not stuck in a lot of routines here. We're really not. But this morning, I'd like for us to sing this. Because this is what we're doing today. We're praising God. You're going to help me. I'm not a great singer and that kind of stuff. But I love this song and I love the words. Those of you who remember it, sing with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we always closed it with Amen. Oh, you guys are good. You're good. That's just like a choir. I like it. But it is singing to the glory of God. Now, our text this morning in Exodus, it comes at the end of Israel's journey. And 40 years earlier, there was this old prophet, his name was Moses, and Moses had urged Israel to leave their slavery, to leave the land of Egypt, to leave Pharaoh, to quit doing the things that he had them do, and he wanted them to find freedom, and he was going to lead them to a land of prosperity flowing with milk and honey. And here's what happened. On their journey, they leave Egypt, and on their journey, Israel constructed a tabernacle. It was a place where God Himself would dwell. Now, it was a tabernacle, not a temple, not a cathedral. It was not St. Peter's in Rome or Notre Dame in Paris. It was not like Herod's temple filled with gold. It didn't have a sanctuary like we have here at Laurel Street. It was a handmade, temporary, portable tabernacle. And the people created this, they made this, and wherever they went, God's tabernacle went with them. And for all the things that it wasn't, it was God's dwelling place. It was the tent of His presence. In Exodus 40, 32, and you're going to hear me repeat this several times today, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of God and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. What's that like? I mean, can you imagine? What is it like to say that the glory of God filled the tabernacle? What would it look like? What it would be like today if we truly felt and knew and understood that the glory of God fills this sanctuary? And by the way, He's here. God is with us, and He's working in our hearts, and He's working in our minds, and He's working in our corporate worship, and He's a part of this body and a part of believers here. But He filled the tabernacle. And that was the glory of the church. It may be too difficult today and in these times to talk about the glory of the church. Because you see, today church is not really on a list of most relevant institutions. As a matter of fact, there are many that say that the church is in trouble. People aren't interested in church, and the place has nowhere near the importance that it once had. Other things seem to take precedent over the church. And with all its trials, though, over the centuries, everything that has happened to the church, the persecution and the ridicule that Christians have received, all of this has taken place, but yet the church still stands. And that's evidence of God. You follow me? If it had not been for the Lord, where would the church be today? You see, nations have come and gone, but the church survives. The church is still here. There's been new philosophies, new theologies, new belief systems, but nobody has surpassed, nobody has gone beyond the timeless teaching of an itinerant preacher of Palestine named Jesus. Nobody has. 2,000 plus years, and we are here today worshiping God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nothing that you can find in this world will come close to that. There's nothing to compare. God's truth is as true today as the day it was given. And God's church is still the church that God wanted it to be, believing in Him, following Him, loving Him. Remember this, it's real simple when it comes to Christianity. God says this, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Is that complicated? No, it's not hard at all. That's a beginning point. That's where God says, I'll meet you there. I'll be your God. You be my people. We'll get together. We'll love. I'll pour myself into you, and you pour your service into me. And He says, I'll be there with you. And the church survives because the Lord promised, I'll be with you. And only the Lord, only God could survive the world and the onslaught of things that have come to the world. But I say glory. The church survives. You see, the church is covered by the blood of Jesus. He died for the church. Now when I say that, I want you to understand something. The church is not this building that we're sitting in. For some of you, it's hard to get a hold of this. The church is not this building. The church is not this piano. The church is not the praise team. The church is not the pastor. The church is all of us. The church, it's about people. It's about believers who have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, coming together in corporate worship and lifting God up and saying, we praise you, we love you, we want to serve you. We know that you pour yourself into our lives. And that's the church. The building can be destroyed. Oh, but the church will live on. When the first church was built, folks, let me tell you, it wasn't necessarily in a building. They met in caves. They met in dark areas. They met in silence. They met in private. They met in little homes. Because it wasn't important what the building was. What was important was that the body of believers, the body of Christ, came together and said, we will be that church that Jesus died for. We will be the church that Jesus poured His blood out for. We will be the church that has received Him as Savior and Lord and want to share Him with the world and follow that mission. That's the church. Jesus said, I die for the church. And he said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Did you catch that? Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And as many things that are thrown at her, she goes on. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. If there's a moment when the glory of the Lord fills the church, it's when the church and her people prepare for Him. Did you know that? When we step forward faithfully expecting God to be in our presence, He's there. He's there. The children of Israel, what did they do? They prepared in advance. They prepared a tabernacle. Now listen to this. They were in the wilderness and they were moving from place to place to place. And actually, if you look at this passage, they have this tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was covered with the cloud, and when the Spirit of God filled the tabernacle, they stayed where they were at. Now this goes on for 40 years. And that's a whole other story how that ended up happening. But for 40 years, they're in the wilderness. When the cloud lifted, they packed up and they moved. And where the cloud settled, that's where they stayed. But they prepared. They were in the wilderness. They were poverty stricken. They were full of doubts. They didn't have a great social order. And there had been a lot of idolatry and other sin that had taken place with the people. But through all of that, they still took time to prepare a place for God. Listen, if there is no God, if there is no glory in our lives, if there is no dimension of the divine, then folks, truly, we wander in hopelessness. If we're walking around without God and we're trying to do it all by ourselves, we're lost. We're lost. And we must, in our hearts and in our gathering, we must prepare ourselves to have a place for God. We have to be prepared to let Him work in our lives. Have you prepared a place in your heart? Have you prepared a place for Him that you allow God to be a part of your life every day? The Word says that God will not dwell in unclean temples. That's why we got to prepare. Are you looking for the glory of God to come? If you are, then it's time to say, search me and know my heart, O Lord. Search me and know my heart. It's time to say, try me. Test me, know my heart. It's time to say, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. The tabernacle was there in the wilderness because the people, the nation of Israel, had a willing spirit. And churches exist because of the willing spirit of the people. God's church, truthfully, was never built because of a well-thought-out financial plan. It was never built because of a sophisticated management system. The church is built because of soldiers of the cross who had a willing spirit, consecrated pocketbooks, and those who gave the first fruits and beyond. That's how the church was built. Israel knew the presence of God. They had a fire by day, or fire by night, and a cloud by day. And this is how they followed God. And God was constantly before them. Do you ever think about it? God chose a strange people. They weren't the best churchgoers. Oh my, they gave their leaders, that's the ones that God had appointed over them, they gave their leaders a hard time. Even at times to threats of death. Scott, we're not looking for that, buddy. They were hard on their leaders. They mumbled and grumbled, but God stayed with them. And no matter what, when God is in it, guys, it's going to work out. No matter what. And if God is in it, He will bless it. If God is in it, He'll work a miracle right in the middle of the mess. And things that might be going on that you think there's no answer for. Well, not only did God reside with them, He sent His cloud to cover the tent of congregation. And it said, all the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Listen, Scripture's pretty silent on what took place in the tabernacle. It's pretty silent on what took place when it was filled with the glory of God. And we don't have a lot there. But I do know this. There was lots and lots of worship. Because the people were dependent on following God. And that's why we come here each week. Our attitude of worship begins with music. And you know, we thank God for a talented praise team. We thank God for those who put the work into leading that portion of our worship. See, worship is more than just the music. It's the whole service. It's everything that happens here on Sunday morning. And we're so thankful for those who come up and do that. The Bible says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what we pray for. That's why we gather and why we sing and why we meet and hear the message. Because it's all about worshiping God. And when we do, when we worship, when we're here, the Holy Spirit fills us and we know we have been in the presence of God. We know the church has been filled with His glory. With His glory. And you can't manufacture that. If you worship Him in spirit and truth, He'll come. And when we worship and we know His presence, we find that cloud of contentment within us. We find confidence. We find sweet communion. We find this whispering hope. Glory will fill this place. And we know it. The world needs the church where God's glory is heard. It needs the church where God's glory is seen and His glory is felt and experienced. A church where God gets the glory for everything, and a church where love leads to worship, and where peace prays the prayer, and where faith is lifted up in offering. That's the church. It's a place where God's glory is found in a total context of worship. King David wrote a chorus. The Book of Psalms full of choruses. It's fun. And you'll see, if you go through and read Psalms, you'll see a lot of the songs that we sing today, they come right out of the Book of Psalms or Book of Proverbs. But this one out of Psalms, David wrote. It says, who is this King of glory? The Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Our prayer is that this temple will be one of worship. And we pray each week that we would feel the presence of God as we come together. Today, as God has blessed us, we want to thank Him for a wonderful gift that He has sent. We want to praise Him. We want to worship Him. He has provided something that we've needed for a while. It's going to be placed in service, well, this week. It's not going to stay here, guys. Sorry. It's going back over there where the old lady used to live. I dub thee Fred. I got a look from Sherry on that one. But by His provision, we have this wonderful instrument that will be a part of the worship of this church. And my prayer is that we will use it as such. That's all it is. It's a tool. It's another way to help us enter the presence of God and be filled with His glory and know that He's here. Sherry, can I ask you to step up here a minute? We're going to do something different. And this whole morning's different. But that's okay. That's all right. We can break stride and do things differently, and there's not a problem. I want Sherry just to play something here this morning. And then what I'm going to ask you to do, it's real simple. I want us to pray and to come together, and this may seem a little weird to some of you. We don't do this very often. But I'm going to ask you that I want us to come up together and stand around the piano. And we're going to have a prayer, and I've asked Pastor Scott if he would have a prayer of dedication. It'd also be our closing prayer. That we would say to God, thank you for what you have given. That we would say, we appreciate that you are here and working in this congregation. And we want to ask that God would bless us. And even as we listened to Karen play a little earlier, and I can see in the future those coming down the aisle is, Here Come the Bride or whatever that song's called. And the different things, the different times. I don't know how many times we'll be playing Let's Go Out to the Ball Game, but I'll tell you what, if Cubs win, we will. But how awesome it is. So we just stand, come and join us. It's an effort that everybody put into it. We work together. Come on up, just gather around the piano. We can pretend it's Christmas time. We're going to sing a song. I don't think we are, but maybe we will. Oh, get in here tight. We're friendly. It's Sunday morning. Everybody's clean.